What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we make this deal?
For commercial real estate, it's clear. Rewards are reaped when the customer journey and expectations have been not just satisfied, but exceeded. No matter whether you are a property developer, owner, or manager, focusing on your customers is essential for future success, and in real estate, customer success is driven by the tenant experience. Today on the show, I'm speaking with James Siegel, president of OpenPath. OpenPath was created by a team of serial entrepreneurs who were tired of forgetting their office keys at home, frustrated with having to carry multiple badges to get into their buildings, and seriously worried about the security of their workspace given the state of the world today. This episode is brought to you by InCheck by SiteComply. InCheck is a building operations platform used by thousands of property management teams to get visibility, accountability, and consistency, and grow their portfolios and profits. To find out more, go to InCheckApp.com. That's InCheckApp.com. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Grove Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. The Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. Celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I asked James about his background and the unique insight that led to the founding of OpenPath.
You know, my background is that of a serial tech entrepreneur. OpenPath, which we started just about 2.5, 3 years ago, is my fourth technology company that I built over the last 20 plus years. I started my career early on at Mattel Toys, actually, as a brand manager for Hot Wheels, which was a fun gig. Did that for 5 years or so. Went to business school, got out, and ended up getting into the tech space, and ended up running a web hosting company that I built and sold to a big telco. Built a software company that I sold to a big software company. And then a content delivery network that I ended up building and selling to a big telco, to Verizon. And the same team of guys who built these past companies over the last 20 years with me, we've been together through the whole ride. So we look for business opportunities, problems that we can solve, friction that we experience, and we try to come up with a solution that, breaks the mold a little bit and gives us an opportunity to innovate and disrupt a category. We had all been, together as we built businesses, going from 0 to 1,000 employees, going from, 1 to 15 or to 20 offices around the world in our prior companies, and experienced the frustration of access control, these badges, these cards that you had to have on a clip on your belt. I had about 6 or 7 on mine, and the various locations you had to go to get in with these, and the complexity of managing these cards, remembering them to have them with you, administering them, printing them, issuing them, revoking them, getting them back when, an employee would leave. And it just seemed like an archaic way to do something that you could do so easily with your mobile phone. And so when we looked at this category, just as entrepreneurs, having sold our last business and we're looking around for the next big idea, we saw that in the sort of real estate world, the security sort of space around physical security really hadn't, innovated a lot as much as the cybersecurity world had. And that disruptive technologies like mobile and cloud hadn't really yet been applied to this category, i.e., badges and key cards were still the primary method for access to commercial properties. And so we said, well, what if we could develop a technology that allows you to use your phone as your key? And you can just walk up to a door and unlock it with your phone. It seemed like a great way to do things. And so we investigated the space, saw this big opportunity, and that was the origin of OpenPath.
I asked James about tenant experience and access control and how the category has evolved since his entrepreneurial team moved into the space.
Sure. And I'll try to sort of start first with the macro trends that are influencing a lot of change in this category. You just look at, the innovative new technologies like mobile and cloud that have disrupted all of our lives, right? And I think a lot of the enterprise has moved its software from, servers that are on-premise to the cloud. And that's sort of an industry standard approach now. That hadn't really happened to the commercial real estate space. And so we saw that trend was kind of missing. We saw mobile was tremendously impactful in influencing how people interact with everything. You know, we take a scooter to work. We have our, you know, the blinds and the shades at our house come up. The thermostat on the wall and the doorbell are all mobile connected. Everything we do to, you know, call a car service is, you know, on a mobile phone. You're booking almost every, you know, e-commerce transaction or table reservation or flight on the phone. So it's just an everyday part of how we do things, but it's not an everyday part of how people interact with their workspace. And so we saw that again being another disruptive, you know, trend. There's also this trend of, you know, the worker themselves. The workforce today consists of five generations of workers, from, you know, millennials to Gen X to Gen Y, and they all interact with technology and they interact with the workspace very differently. Trends like, you know, hoteling or open workspace platforms or co-working, people working remote and moving around a lot more. These tremendously influence the way people interact with the building space and technology. And I don't think that the physical layout of commercial real estate space and the technology that people use to secure that space had evolved to meet those needs. And so you look at all these various trends and you say, okay, wow, there's a big opportunity here. What are the incumbent providers in this category doing about it? And so, access control, which is an underlooked category, it's really a commodity. You know, nobody really cares about the white badge or card or fob that they use to get in their office. If you asked, 100 people, what access control system do you use? They'd be like, I don't know, some badge that gets me in. Much like if you had asked people 10 years ago, what thermostat do you have in your house? They'd be like, I don't know. But now, you know, they'll tell you it's a Nest. Or if you ask somebody what doorbell they had in their house, they're like, really? It's a round ding-dong button I press. I don't know what brand it is. But now, you know, it's a Ring doorbell to video intercom and interact. I think we saw an opportunity to go and create an emotional connection, a personalized relationship with this building technology around access and brand it. And so people now sort of think about, hey, when I come to my building and I enter and I have this, you know, friction-free experience of using my phone, I'm sort of open path my way in. And that was a lot of the motivation that went into this. The incumbents in the marketplace, these are brands you might or might not have heard of. HID, they make badges. There's AMAG, there's Lenel, there's S2, there's Software House. Big companies like Tyco, United Technologies, Johnson Controls all have plays in this space. But no one really sort of knows the brands that you use every single day. And none of those companies had rolled out any kind of effective mobile or cloud technology that was moving the needle. I think when we did an analysis of this space, we saw maybe 2-3% adoption in the workplace of mobile technology as a way to access buildings, even though every single one of the players in that category had a mobile app. They just had it more of a checkbox item, not something that actually worked well. And so we looked at that and said, hey, we can find a way to make this really easy to use, make sure that it's reliable and it works all the time. We can roll out a product that is elegant and beautiful and people want, and we'll get that market traction and we can really change the category. So that was our thesis going in, and it's proven out to be indeed the case.
User experience has already been established as a battleground for companies to distinguish themselves in a world of digital design. I asked James how OpenPath creates a meaningful experience for users while helping property owners and managers build powerful relationships.
Well, sure. So let's, you know, start from the beginning of, you know, how this works. So any building you've ever been in where you see that there's a card reader, right? There's basically, you know, the card reader at the door. You have to present your credential, your card or your fob, and you unlock the door. The door is typically electrified. And so there's a signal that goes from that card reader back to a panel that's in an IT closet that authenticates that's you, you're at the door, you should be allowed in. And then it sends a signal to the electrified lock that says, okay, unlock the door. That is an access control system. And, you know, when we looked at, you know, access control systems, we sort of said, let's break this down and deconstruct it from the user's perspective and think about how do I make the experience of walking up to an entry, whether it's a garage gate, an elevator, a turnstile, or an office door. how do I make remove the friction from this, right? And I'd say, first of all, nobody who goes to work actually realizes they're even experiencing this friction because no one showed them a better way. So you go to work, you fumble for your keys, you try to remember the PIN code, you try to get your badge out. You're used to these access methods that exist. It's just part of your everyday occurrence. Maybe you get to the door and you kind of kick yourself because you left your badge in the car or you left your keys at home on the bedside table and you have to knock on the door or drive home and get it. Who knows? This is the friction that everyone accepts in their everyday. We said, okay, let's just wipe the slate clean and assume for a moment we're not going to accept any of that. The user's experience should be friction-free, where you just walk up to the door and it opens. And in that case, you want the door to still be secure. So you want it to be locked when you present yourself to that door. You want the door to recognize you so that it can track that entry, like a good access control system does, to validate that you came in time and there's access logs associated with that. And then you want the door to kind of lock behind you so that the next person has to be credentialed to come up. And so in developing the technology, we said, okay, let's first remove the hassle of carrying key cards and badges when you're already carrying a phone. Let's put the credential on the mobile phone. So we built a technology mobile app that works really reliably, that connects to the access control system and sends an unlock command to the system three ways, actually. We do it over low energy Bluetooth, over Wi-Fi, and over cellular. And we actually pit all three signals against each other. The first one to hit the access system unlocks the door. The other two are discarded. And we actually got a patent for that technology. It's called our triple unlock patent. And that is a really unique way that we can ensure tremendously low latency, which means the second you come up to the door, it unlocks, as well as high reliability. So it works 99.9% of the time. So you don't have the typical fails that happen with most mobile technology where, oh, hey, my phone, dropped a call, or, oh, hey, my phone, didn't connect to my speaker. That just can't happen when it comes to access control. So when we, solved that problem where we made it so that the mobile phone can now unlock the door, we had to move to the next sort of user experience challenge, which is, I actually don't want to have to take the phone out of my pocket, unlock it, close the app I was looking at, open the mobile app, find the door, press the button. That takes about 7 thought cycles. And we kind of realized in studying the user experience that really wasn't going to cut it. People were going to still revert back to using their old key card or badge because using a key card takes about 3 thought cycles. You take it out of your pocket, you swipe it, you put it back in your pocket. So we needed to find a way to sort of make this friction free. And so we invented a technology we call touch. And that's the ability for you to keep the phone in your pocket or keep the phone in your purse or in your backpack or keep talking on the phone. And so when you walk up to the door, the reader recognizes that your phone's there. It makes a low energy Bluetooth connection. And then it waits. It waits for you to signal it and show intent to trigger, hey, the door should open. And so when you walk up to the door, if you just wave your hand in front of the reader or you touch the reader with your hand, it unlocks the door. And so we removed that whole step of having to take your key card out or having to unlock the phone. And when we saw this technology sort of roll out and we put it out across all of our users, we were amazed by the results. We had 94% mobile adoption amongst our users. And that means that when users are given a choice between using our key card or using our mobile app, 94% of the time they use our mobile app. And that kind of blew away the industry norm where it was 2-3% mobile adoption for all these, incumbent competitors. And so that was the moment we realized, all right, by attacking the user experience and improving that, we were able to make this emotional connection with the customer, the worker, the everyday person who comes to work, and just totally change how they experience that building, how they experience access. And that's been sort of the key to our success as we've grown, and we've taken that same methodology and applied it to a lot of our other capabilities and features.
As workers are enabled to move effortlessly through buildings while using OpenPass access control system, I asked James about the benefits to building owners and operators.
Sure. So let's break those two groups up a little bit. So there's, in the real estate parlance, there's the tenant, right, or the occupier. And that's really the company that buys a solution and deploys it so that their workers and their employees can use it to access their physical offices. And it's not just one office, it's their offices, all over. And then there's the other bucket, which is the landlords, right? And they fall into, you know, different use case scenarios. There's, you know, developers who are building new properties from scratch. There's property management companies that are managing existing commercial real estate assets. There's asset managers who, you know, are looking at the economics associated with a portfolio of land that they own or properties that they own and how they sort of, you know, treat those and position them in the market and invest in them. So let's start with the first bucket, which is the tenant. And when you look at the tenant, they have a whole host of needs. One is that they want to be a forward-looking business that is able to make working there an easy choice for an employee. So you're always trying to position to your workforce that, hey, I'm a great company. This is a great place to work. And we invest in ways to both keep you safe, but also improve the quality of your workday. And so having cool technology like this, where you can access the workspace with your mobile phone, that's just compelling in terms of how they position and sort of, you know, orient their culture by saying, hey, we invest in cool tech and this is a great place to work, and they can attract talent as a result of these kind of investments. I think the next piece is the security component, where, you know, you've got this highly capable supercomputer that's sitting in your pocket, you know, with encrypted communication capabilities that are highly personalized. You now have a much more secure experience in terms of accessing the physical space. And so security and InfoSec teams at a given business are really excited that the phone now brings an additional factor of authentication. Right. So not only do you have the phone on you and you can use it to access, but you can upgrade the security to a given entry by saying, hey, I don't want this to just be where you walk up and you touch the door. This is a server room, or it's an HR office, or it's a really secure room. I want to, you know, make the user first unlock the phone using their face, their fingerprint, or a key code. And only then can they use the mobile app to get in. So there's a two-factor authentication component that can be enabled with our doors. And that's really cool, because now the security folks know that they can really lock down a given access door. And it's not like it used to be with an RFID badge, where anybody who finds that badge can walk up to the door and unlock it. This is a really personalized, you know, very specific security enablement, where only I have access to my phone, either through my face, my fingerprint, or my PIN code, and no one is going to know that and be able to sort of, you know, get into this room with my phone other than me. And so it really improves the security posture of a company. You can also keep doors that would otherwise be left unlocked during normal business hours locked, so that it doesn't reduce the throughput, and that people can still come and go super easy, but at least the door defaults to a lock stage. I think then for the other thing that, you know, businesses are looking for is, how does the technology that I deploy within my office integrate with the enterprise apps I use to run my business? So we spend a lot of time looking at those apps. Most businesses use a single source of truth to manage all of their employee data, right? So it's Active Directory from Microsoft, or G Suite, or maybe Okta. These are all directory services where, you know, all the IT systems in a business are tied to it, so that when you hire a new person, you add them to this one source of truth, and they're added to all of your IT systems. Well, OpenPath runs like an IT system, so we connect to that same source of truth. And so the administrative burden of adding a new employee to the access system, printing and issuing them a badge, getting it in front of them, taking a picture of them, putting it together, and then when they're, you know, let go, getting it back for them, walking them out, making sure you get the badge back. None of that is part of the OpenPath process. With OpenPath, it's just, hey, I added them to Active Directory and they're instantly synced. They download the app on their phone and they're good to go. They're credentialed. And then when they're let go or fired and move on, they're instantly removed from Active Directory or Okta or whatever, and their credentials revoked. And we also integrate with other enterprise apps. So Slack as a communications tool, like you can actually Slack open a door, which is kind of cool, as well as, you know, use visitor management tools like Envoy, where I get a temporary credential, a guest pass if I'm a visitor, so that I can unlock a door for an hour or a day or whatever is appropriate based on the amount of time I'm visiting. And I can get that emailed to me before I even get there, so that I have a seamless visitor experience when I come to your office. You know, these are the kind of cool things that the enterprise or the tenant really looks for. And it makes it easy for them to manage not just one location, but multiple locations across the country if they have offices in different cities through a single pane of glass, because it's all cloud-based. So they don't have to worry about, hey, do I have a facilities manager or administrative staff in this remote satellite office? I don't need to worry about that because I'm managing everything through the cloud. They don't have to have somebody there printing issue badges. They can just have mobile credentials and they can manage the access remotely. And so I think that answers the sort of, you know, from the tenant or you know, enterprise perspective. When you look at the landlord and the property manager, they're all about, hey, how do I attract people to come and lease office space in my building? What do I do to position this property as unique and competitive to justify higher rent rates or in a competitive marketplace just to make sure that I get the cool tenant that I want and get them to stay for a long time? So there's some stickiness as well to the technology investments they make. And also, how do I, you know, reduce my operating costs as a business, you know, as a property? So, you know, we meet all of those requirements in that, you know, we make it compelling to come into this building because they've got, you know, great access control technology. We make it easy to administer because the property managers don't have to sort of log in and they can manage remote campuses and diagnose problems all through the cloud. And then we also automate with the building automation systems and access systems. So we automate with the garage, the elevator, the turnstiles, all the various components of their building, which reduces their overall integration costs and allows them to run and operate the system at both a lower cost with a higher net benefit to their tenants and to their OPEX budget.
James paints quite an elegant picture of the tenant and landlord experience with OpenPath. I was interested to learn more about how OpenPath can create a better experience for visitors.
So let's think about all these use cases. You're in a meeting, you're a visitor, you're in a conference room with the person you're visiting, and you say, gosh, I'd like to use the restroom. And they look awkwardly at you, and they kind of unclip their badge, and they sort of hand it to you, and they go, okay, take my badge. You're going to walk out there. You're going to make a left and two rights. It'll be the second door on your right. And they've now just given you the keys to the castle, literally, while you go to the restroom with that. And then you bring it back. Hopefully you washed your hands. And you head it back to them. You know, alternatively, you know, you're there, you're visiting somebody's business, and you say, ah, you know, I'd like to go out and go to the restroom. And they say, okay, great. And they hand you a soup spoon. It's a massive wooden soup spoon. And attached to it is a key. And you have to now embarrassingly walk out the door through the hallway with this massive bathroom key, and then, you know, so forth and so on. The examples are many. And I think having an elegant way to give somebody a temporary credential to access the building was sort of key to what we wanted to do here. And the use cases now really sort of proliferate. So somebody is a contractor and they're going to go spend, you know, a couple of days in your office building something out, and they can have access to the door so that when they get in early, no one has to let them in. We've had customers where they have a board meeting scheduled for later that day. One of the board members arrived super early because their flight came in at a time they didn't expect. And, you know, they called the CEO who was, you know, still at home, you know, trying to get his kids to school. And he's like, hey, I'm here at the office. You can let me in. And he texted them right away a temporary credential, and they were able to unlock the door and go in. So you kind of think of all the ways that this helps. And obviously, I mentioned the visitor experience, either for a huge, big building, right? When you go into the lobby of a highly secure tower or high rise in any big city, you have to experience a 15-minute wait to actually get up to the floor you want, right? You go to the receptionist or the security desk, you present your ID, you take a photo. They call up to validate that you're supposed to be there, that you're approved. Once they get that validation, which often takes a little while, you're handed a piece of paper that you then use to walk over to a turnstile. You then scan it in the turnstile. It works or it doesn't work. You finally get through the turnstile. You get to the elevator. You now have to have them let you up to the floor where you're supposed to go. You finally get up there. Then you have to get through another glass door till you can get to the reception. That's the experience in most big, you know, tall buildings and high rises. Yet with our mobile credential, you can have a temporary link that gets you through all of those steps with ease so that you can still walk up and do the visual verification where they confirm that you are who you say you are. But because you're set up in the system with the credential, you can scan it at the reader right there at the security desk, and they say, great, you're approved. You walk up to the turnstile, you press the button, you go straight in. You walk over to the elevator, you press the button, it authorizes your floor. You walk up to the receptionist at the suite that you wanted, it authorizes you to go into that glass door and go where you need to go. So it's a really helpful technology that allows us to reduce a lot of the friction that we've just become so accustomed to. One thing I might add is, security is something that we all assume that we just kind of have to put up with. In a post 9/11 world, especially in office towers, you know, we know that now there's going to be turnstiles and there's going to be security checks and there's going to be visitor, you know, credential verification, all this stuff. And we've accepted that. And I think that 10 years later, we're now at a place where we know that we still have to do all that, but gosh, it shouldn't take 15 or 20 minutes. Let's see if there's a way to do it a lot more efficiently. And I think that's this next generation of access control that's getting rolled out in commercial properties. That's the benefit. It's making what is still an important security paradigm and posture that has to be there a little bit more easy to digest.
Traditional deployment of access control systems has been costly and cumbersome to deploy. I asked James how OpenPath is reimagining the deployment of access control.
Traditional access control systems, by the way, whoever is listening to this never thought they'd know or want to know this much about access control. But it's kind of interesting when you take a deep dive on any of these automation systems and technologies that go into buildings today. It's just so ripe for improvement. When we looked at it, we discovered that there's a physical install that happens of, you know, low voltage electronics that get wired up. And that's because you have an electric door, right, that needs to be unlocked. You've got an access control reader that goes on the wall. And those two systems, the reader on the wall, as well as like a sensor on the door, and the electrified door lock, they're all wired back to an IT closet where there's a panel. And that panel is just an electrical panel that kind of says, okay, great, I'm the brain, and I'm telling you that because the reader said you're authorized, I'm going to allow power to the door or not to unlock it. And I've got a sensor that comes back to me and says the door is ajar or the door is closed. That panel is something that we make. We make our own panel, and we make that reader. But in traditional access systems, there's an additional piece of technology, and that's a server. So there's software that runs the access control system, and it's hosted locally. So you have to go buy a Windows server. The legacy software that's in this market is so old that it actually runs on Windows 95. You have to install that server in the IT closet or in the security office, and you have to go get a CD-ROM, and you have to install the software that runs the access control system on that server. And then you have to wire that up and connect it to the panel. And it's kind of the brain where you keep the Excel list of all the approved workers in that building. And then, you know, it sort of has their badge ID and all that authentication. If you want to make changes and add new people, somebody has to walk into that IT closet and, you know, get a keyboard and type something in and add it. It's kind of a pain. An IT person has to go manage that server and patch it and add antivirus and put software updates on it when the new versions come out of the access control system. And so there's a cost burden, administrative burden with managing that server. The benefit of our system is there's no server. All of that software is hosted in the cloud. And our panel actually has a Linux operating system running on it. So all you need to do is connect it with an Ethernet jack to the internet. And you've got software in the cloud that keeps a local copy running on the panel so that all the credentials are held locally in case the internet goes down. The system runs perfectly without the internet. And you've offloaded a tremendous IT burden of purchasing servers, managing servers at different locations. Plus, you've also, because it's in the cloud, found a way to now instantly connect multiple locations together. So think about, you know, old access systems. You've got a server running in a closet. If you wanted to have one site, one office, connect to another site, another office, you had to buy a gateway server. And that's something else that you have to install and manage. And you have to then create a virtual private network, your IT burden there. And you need to sort of connect them all together. And then users and sort of administrators of the system have to VPN into that virtual private network to actually get to those servers to then manage multiple sites. And with ours, it's just all in the cloud. You can manage 1, 10, 100, 1,000 sites and, you know, hundreds of thousands of users and sync it with your cloud-based software that runs your business. And it's all easy and ready to go. So I think that paradigm of shifting all of that back office burden of IT and servers, virtual private networks, and moving that all to a single cloud system has really improved the ability to deploy access systems with a lighter lift. And also operate them at a lower cost.
I asked James about OpenPath's current client base and geographic footprint.
Yeah. So the offices all over the world was a prior life in my last company. You know, OpenPath has been commercially available for about 9 or 10 months now. We came out of stealth mode at the end of summer at 2018. We spent about 2 years before that, you know, really just in stealth R&D mode, building out our technology, proving it out with beta customers, getting patents awarded around this unique capability, and you know, getting everything, all our ducks in a row so that we could go to market. We've now, you know, been in market and have, you know, tens of thousands of users using our system every single day on thousands of doors. We have a nationwide footprint. We sell just in the United States right now, but we're looking to expand internationally over the next year or two as we go out and get all the licensing and sort of testing and labels that you need in order to do that when it comes to electronic components and radio frequency stuff. You know, we have a channel that sells our products on our behalf. We don't sell direct to businesses. Rather, we qualify opportunities with businesses who come to us, and then we hand them over to our channel. And our channel are system integrators, low voltage electricians, locksmiths, security consultants. These are folks that are the standard bearer who go out and install access systems for buildings. They're licensed to, you know, do that in a fire safety way. That's, you know, life safety qualified, certified, licensed, insured, and know how to deal with, you know, electrical, you know, complexity in these big buildings all over the world, all over the U.S. at least. And so that's, you know, how we sell today. You know, a lot of good traction. We've got some great companies, both small and large, who are as customers today. You know, you can obviously learn all about us at OpenPath at our website. It's www.openpath.com. So anybody who's curious about our customers, we got great case studies and testimonials there from various folks, as well as partners who want to get involved with us. You know, we love integrations with other technology companies that make sense, partnering with landlords and property owners who want to roll this out in their footprint, customers, tenants who are looking to deploy this within their office space, and then system integrators who want to take on our product as one of their access control you know, products and deploy us and sell us into their customer base.
I asked James what success looks like for OpenPath over the next 12 months.
We have been laser focused on just the commercial real estate space as we launched. And, you know, one of the lessons learned after 20 years of being an entrepreneur is that, you know, you have to focus in order to succeed when you launch a new business. So I think there's an opportunity once we really get the level of traction and momentum nailed in the commercial real estate space to expand to other verticals, whether it's healthcare, K through 12 and EDU and the, you know, the school and education space, you know, government and a host of other, you know, really compelling verticals, in the real estate world, who all need access control and use it on a daily basis, but have unique sort of capabilities and features that they want. So we're rolling out a feature shortly, our lockdown feature, which is great for schools and universities because they need the ability to lock down a physical space in a specific way in case there's an emergency. And we've deployed that and in a way that makes it really safe and ensures a level of security that you don't have without it. But at the same time, you know, we also need features and capabilities for landlords. So we just rolled out our elevator integration, which, you know, makes it easy for them to deploy access control ubiquitously across all the entry and access points in a building. And so, you know, as we continue to evolve our features and capabilities, making sure that we keep our channel happy with, you know, the right pricing, the right product roadmap, our customers happy with the level of service and support that they want, and our landlord and, you know, property owner, you know, targets happy as well with, you know, really great, you know, integrations with building automation systems, I think is what I'm focused on over the next 12 months and got our heads down going after that.
I asked James about the future of tenant experience over the next 5 years.
I mean, I think people want to have a much more emotional connection and, you know, personalized connection with the space that they live in and work in. We've seen that evolve with the impact of IoT, the Internet of Things at the home, you know, and I used examples like Nest and Ring to sort of illustrate how people have adopted this technology, whether it's Alexa and Google Home. All these things are just improving the quality and the interactivity of the home. That same trend is pushing into the smart building and workspace. And I think that, you know, both landlords and tenants are responding to the everyday person's need to have a more personalized experience at work. And the growth of co-working spaces like, you know, WeWork, Industrious, Convene, and the like have also increased the availability of these kind of technological amenities and made them more accessible to everybody. And so this increased technological amenitization of the workspace, as well as the growing sort of desire for workers to have a personalized connection to how they interact with their building, are the big trends that I think will impact us over this next sort of 3 to 5 years. I think we're well positioned there as a solution provider to ride that wave with the right product, the right price, and sort of the right positioning at the right time. And now it's just a matter of, you know, making this aware. You know, we need to increase the awareness so that both building owners, you know, business owners, and workers all know that this technology exists and that you can ask for it and you can deploy it, and it's just going to improve your quality of your day-to-day work experience. And so I think right now I'm out there talking with you, Ryan, and as many people as I can to build that awareness and make sure people know.
Great to connect with James Siegel of OpenPath today. On a mission to improve workplace efficiency, OpenPath creates smart security solutions for the modern office. The company's flagship product, OpenPath Access, combines sleek hardware with an app, enabling employees to enter the office using their smartphones and making office management easier than ever. With encryption at every level and powerful user-level permissions, OpenPath Access is both more secure and more dynamic than traditional systems. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow James and OpenPath's pursuit to build smart, secure workplace solutions for the modern office. Find out more about James and OpenPath in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. Find out more about The Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators.